Om Shanti. We are preparing ourselves for going deep into silence, and silence requires concentration. The practice of being introverted and concentrated needs for us to be focusing pretty much all the time. And at the same time, we are karma yogis. So we do everything, we experience everything, we know what's happening, and yet at the same time, we're focused and internalized. Silence doesn't mean that there is no thought, but it definitely means no waste thought. Baba has been telling us for quite some time to become free from waste thought, and for that we require a powerful break. So the break is the decision in the soul, that is, it is an act of will. When a thought arises that the soul discerns, this is waste. So then instantly, along with that discernment, the brake has to be applied, and then that thought and any flow of thoughts connected with it will be stopped. And so there are two energies going on. One is the energy that gives birth and sustains the waste thought, and the other is the energy that stops it. Now, if we apply a brake, but at the same time there is a strong energy to create waste thought, then we find ourselves actually doing what the Hatha yogis do, which is to control by force. This is the meaning of Hatha yoga, the control by force. So when we do work inside our being, which involves controlling by force, then we are still in the Rajo stage. It also corresponds to the warrior stage, so the Silver Aged stage. And so what that means is that preparation for silence is also connected with purity. Now, if we detect anything that is impure, and we see that impurity, become aware of that impurity, and we do not like that impurity, then it means we have made ourselves impure through that impurity. And it becomes very difficult to be silent in that case. So therefore, I think that Baba wants us to go to another level where we're really, you know, Baba uses this word Tivra Purusharat. Tivra Purusharat is generally translated as intense effort. But if you look at the word Tivra, it actually means fast. And so fast effort, why it gets translated as intense effort is because it may be a little mysterious as to what is meant by fast effort. But I always think about these things, that if Baba says fast effort, then there may be some meaning in that. So what is the speed of thought? Of course, it is instantaneous. And in the world of war and weapons, what they do, they have one side of the fight sends a rocket into the place of the enemy, and of course if it lands it would do a lot of damage. And so what the other side does is it sends another rocket to intercept that rocket so that it explodes somewhere in midair and it doesn't land in that place. So I find that this is quite a good analogy for us in terms of making the rapid effort that responds very rapidly to the birth of a waste thought. And of course, we're not dealing in seconds or nanoseconds. We really have to be instant. So I think that when Baba talks to us about the practice of fast effort, we can also think about that intensity as being immediate. So whenever you observe something through your eyes or you hear something through your ears, according to scientists, it takes 3/10 of a second to respond to it. So 3/10 of a second is fairly long, right? Or do you think that's short? Anyway, within 3/10 of a second, you have a window of time in which you can produce a thought which is faster than that. But you can only produce such thoughts if you're able to detect the arrival of a waste thought before it really arrives. Otherwise, it's too late. Because once a waste thought has arrived, it's somewhat exploded in your head, and then you have to deal with it. And try and do damage control, try and stop a train of waste thoughts from going on. And when you're doing that, then already your silence is broken. So I think that we need to really look at some of the details of jnana in a very subtle way so that we can use them to be able to deal with the projectiles of waste thoughts. Baba very often says, he uses the expression points of knowledge. And these points, they're arrows, they're projectiles. So any thought which is directed, which is brought to bear on anything, that is like an arrow which you shoot or a bullet which you shoot. And these projectiles, they travel quite fast. But thoughts are much faster than arrows or bullets because the speed of a thought is instant. Now, Baba has told us about past, present, future, and that the only time we can actually make any difference to anything is in the present moment. Because anything that has happened in the past, it's already history. And the things from the future are coming into the present very rapidly. And the present moment is, you know, Baba generally gives us 1 second. He tells us our test, our final test, is a test of 1 second. But I think that we also have many, many tests of 1 second. And we have many opportunities during these 1 second tests to decide, how am I going to respond to this? For example, whenever the traffic control music comes on, there is a second in which you can decide you will stop now, you will not stop at all, or you will stop when you've finished your cup of tea or your bite of food or whatever it is that you happen to be doing. And these are decisions that we have a complete right to make. But we can also use these moments where the traffic control starts to see just exactly how competent we are at actually stopping with that first note of the music. You know, can I actually do it? So we say to ourselves, well, of course I can, but I don't want to because I'm doing other things, or because I don't have to, or because what does it matter, or whatever. And all of those are very valid. But it also means that we wouldn't use this system of traffic control to hone our skills to be able to stop at a particular moment. And it seems that Baba has given us quite a few indications that he wants us to be able to stop instantaneously. He tells us that the last exam will be an exam of 1 second, but there are many, many exams that take place. For example, we experience sudden, unexpected occurrences. And these are not fixed on the hour or on the half hour. They can be any time. Any information that comes, any word that someone may say to us. And these are like arrows coming from somewhere. And then we have to respond to those. So our practice is, you know, to decide immediately what to do and to make sure that what we do according to that is the right thing. So sometimes Baba has said that we have the point of drama. Drama is a point. That means drama is also an arrow or a bullet. So in order for us to be very skilled in the use of the knowledge of drama, when a test comes that requires us to stop and not react or respond or go into a long spin of waste thoughts. So these are tests which come especially for us to find out if I can say it is drama and stop and not think about it again. And what also happens is that when you want to sit in silence, as we will do in a few minutes' time, those things will come up again in your intellect, and then you will have to again stop them. Because, as you know, we hear quite often about the chit, and many people are wondering what exactly the chit is. But one description of the chit is a surface on which something hits. And when it hits, it makes a mark. And so whenever you become quiet, then this mark on your chit will take off in your mind in the form of waste thoughts. But if it doesn't hit your chit, then it won't do that. So this practice of intercepting the provocative situation or thought or word or event or occurrence before it hits your chit is really the key. Now, we know drama, and we also know that the things that shock us or distress us or irritate us or whatever, these are not one-off events. They're events that come in patterns. Particular people will behave with us in predictable ways. Even if they are predictable, we get irritated by them every time. So that means that we didn't use the knowledge of it being predictable in order for us to intercept it before it happens. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes? No? No? Yes? Okay. These are very fast things, you see. So we need to really understand ourselves. And we, in understanding ourselves, we have to understand areas where we are susceptible. Because it is in those areas of susceptibility that some provocation can get through our arrangements for protecting ourselves, and they will hit the chit, and we will have a chit reaction. And this will take the form of waste thoughts, which start again when you're going to sit in silence. So we're going to sit in silence in 10 minutes from now. And so all the things that are on your chit are getting ready to interfere with your silence. And you are getting ready to not be interfered with. And it's a 10-minute process, because now it's 6:20 and we're going to start that at 6:30. So these are exercises. And we have these exercises, sometimes Baba calls them drills. And recently Baba was telling us that we have to practice every day to be in the bodiless stage. And the bodiless stage means that the mind is detached from sense perceptions. Which means whatever you experience through your sense organs, it doesn't hit your mind unless you tell it that it can. So this is called power, this is called mastery. So to be bodiless means we have to think very deeply about our self-honor. And Baba has told us to practice the titles of self-honor or the titles of self-respect. So whenever we have any reaction to any provocation, and Baba will tell us this is because it hit the ego. And so the ego is another word for body consciousness. It is where we take that thing to be real, as opposed to taking it to be drama or taking it to be something which is happening, but it's not happening to me. You see. So these are many different ways in which we use thoughts, concepts, ideas to keep ourselves independent from being affected by the different scenes of the drama, the different activities of different people, so that our state of being dominates our mind rather than the things that come through our sense perceptions. So this is really the work or the practice of a Rajyogi. And we have also this very powerful statement that is often quoted from the Gita, the end of the Gita, Nashto Moha Smriti Labdha, I have destroyed attachment. I have understood. So what is attachment? Attachment can also be described as taking a position about something or needing to have a position. You think of your identity in terms of some kind of a position. And I was looking at some titles of people, and all of them started with the word the. So-and-so is the vice chancellor, or the head of department, or the center in charge, or the region in charge. We have this word the, which is connected with the position. And so this is really where the attachment operates, that I am the, and it becomes actually something more objective than subjective. When you are identifying with a title of self-respect, you never say, I am the. You say, I am Swadarshan Chakradhari. I am not the Swadarshan Chakradhari. I am spinner of the cycle of self-realization. I am Trikal Darshi, seer of the three aspects of time. So it's not that you are the only one and everybody else isn't. Otherwise, in body consciousness, you are that and nobody else is. And so you would become attached to that. That is my identity. These titles of self-honor, they help us to detach from these things, because it is when those are questioned or attacked, or you get put in this situation of compliments and insults, that there is the possibility of it hitting the chit, and then it moves off into a series of waste thoughts. So what we must do in this hour of yoga is to look at ourselves very deeply inside, and select a title of self-honor, and be in that awareness in a bodiless state, so that it's not that you are silent in the sense of there's nothing going on in your mind. But you are silent because what's going on in your mind is true. And you go into the depth of that truth. This process of going into the depth of the title of self-honor that is true for you can be as simple as, I am light. It's a very, very deep truth, but to go into the depth of it and generate the experience of that truth takes you literally, physically, into very deep silence, where you can actually lift off from the material consciousness altogether and go into the subtle and into the incorporeal. But it will be, you will have interference from existing activity on your chit, which wants to pull your mind to it. And so when you are very focused on your title of self-honor, and you're thinking deeply in that title, going into the depth of it, the efforts of this rebounding from your chit will not actually succeed in drawing your attention, because your attention is engaged with something much deeper and something that is true. The things that excite your chit are very ephemeral things. So we have to distinguish between things that are real and permanent truths and things that are little minor irritations that occur in the drama, and to bring ourselves completely beyond those so that they do not matter. Another good yukti for dealing with those is to, as they come up, just put them in Baba's hands, that this is not anything that I'm going to spend time on. Put it in Baba's hands and Baba will take care of it. So we will start this now, and in advance, I think, prepare for yourself this decision to go into bodilessness and churn on a particular title of self-honor with the aim of going into deep silence through that title. Om Shanti.